Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, whatever your situation in life, whatever your experience of the holy, your presence here is a gift. You have a place here. We all have a place here. We all are welcome here. We've been saying these words of welcome to and with one another for several years now. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, you have a place here. At the end of this morning's service, we're going to sing together Fred Small's beautifully moving song, Everything Possible. You can be anybody you want to be. You can love whomever you will. You can travel any country where your heart leads, and know I will love you still. This song, which never fails to bring tears to the eyes of some, at least, who hear it, and our welcoming words express the sentiment that so many of us believe is the beating heart of our Unitarian Universalist faith. Ours is a tradition in which everybody, anybody, is welcome. All are welcome here. But is that true? Is everybody welcome here? The classic challenge to this idea is asking whether a card-carrying, sheet-wearing member of the KKK would be truly welcomed into this community. Just this past Friday night, one of our members was talking with me about this very thing, and he raised the question if someone who is wearing, with no sense of irony, a Make America Great t-shirt would find a warm welcome here. There's an old adult education curriculum called Weaving the Fabric of Diversity that looks at the intersectionality of five isms: racism, ableism, classism, heterosexism, and ageism. One of its first exercises is to have participants look at a list of a little more than 40 different types of people, if you will, and then rate for each one how comfortable they would be sitting next to them and how comfortable they think their congregation would be with having them with them. A partial list includes someone wearing a fur coat, a person with alcohol on their breath, a smoker, a person who sings in a loud monotone, a homeless person, someone who drove here in a Hummer listening to Rush Limbaugh. I made that last one up, but you can see where we're going here, right? The curriculum's author wanted to challenge one of our most cherished self-understandings. Can you be anybody you want to be and still be part of this community? Are all welcome here? Just as our tradition is often incorrectly described as one in which you can believe anything you want, the idea that everyone is welcome here is equally lovely sounding and equally untrue. I'll come back in a moment to ask if we actually want it to be true, but first I want to look at some of the reasons it might be so often said. The Unitarian and Universalist traditions, the parents, if you will, that gave birth to our modern Unitarian Universalist faith, have a long history of valuing and reaching out to traditionally marginalized communities. One of the founders in 1784 of the Pennsylvania Society for the Abolition of Slavery was Unitarian Benjamin Rush. And in 1785, one of the signers of the founding compact of the first Universalist congregation in the United States, then called the Independent Christian Church and now known as the Gloucester Unitarian Universalist Church, was an African-American man named Gloucester Dalton. Although our history also includes the Unitarian President Millard Fillmore, who in 1850 signed into law the odious Fugitive Slave Act, it also includes clergyman John Haynes Holmes, who was a founding member of the NAACP. Universalists Lydia Ann Jenkins and Olympia Brown were the first two women ordained in the United States whose ordination was recognized by a full denomination in 1858 and 1863, respectively. Suffragettes such as Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton are a part of our Unitarian heritage. And although their focus on women's rights came at a cost of attention to and support of the liberation of people of color, we are also descendants of people who understood the connections, such as Julia Ward Howe, Lucy Stone, and the Reverend Theodore Parker, a radical on women's rights and slavery who often wrote his sermons with a handgun on his desk, ready, if necessary, to defend the lives of the runaway slaves who were staying in his cellar on their way to Canada and freedom. Dorothea Dix was an early and tireless advocate for the rights of people with mental illnesses. Octavia Hill, who was a pioneer in areas of housing and education reform for the working class. And Lydia Maria Child, who, among other things, was a proponent of Native American rights. They were all led to their convictions and their activism for social justice by their Unitarian faith. In this century, the first ordained minister of a major religious group in the U.S. or Canada to come out as gay was UU minister James Stoll in 1969. Although, to be completely transparent, after coming out, he was never again called to serve one of our congregations. Unitarian Universalism was the first denomination to accept openly transgender people as full members with eligibility to become clergy. And in 1988, it was a Unitarian Universalist congregation that ordained the first openly transgender person in the United States. Although our faith tradition and those that preceded it do not have a 100% sterling history, we have often been in the forefront of advocating for people who were marginalized and rejected by other faith communities and by the U.S. in general. Our Universalist ancestors avowed their belief in the supreme worth of every human personality, a way of looking at and understanding the world which lives on today in the UUA's first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. The French fashion designer and oft-quoted figure Coco Chanel famously said, "A girl should be two things, who and what she wants." Our Unitarian and Universalist ancestors and our present Unitarian Universalist tradition would only disagree with the gender limitation in her sentiment. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you express your identity, your presence here is a gift. We are all welcome here. You can be anybody you want to be, and know I will love you still. This is one of the great gifts of our faith to the world. I remember the day going on 20 years ago now that I received a phone call from a woman who wanted to know if I would officiate her wedding. She wasn't a member of our congregation. She wasn't even a Unitarian Universalist. But she had been calling churches all morning to find one where she could be married to the love of her life. As soon as they found out that the love of her life was also a woman, church after church hung up on her. One even laughed before doing so. When I told her that I'd be honored to celebrate their love, she wept. It can be so so hard to be anybody you want to be in this culture. It has been and is still often virtually impossible to simply and freely and openly be who and what you want. And often it's not even a matter of being who you want. Our identities, our multiple and intersecting identities, are most often not a matter of choice. It's who we are. The only choice is whether or not to be open and out about it, and too often that's not really all that much of a choice either. Simply put, it simply isn't safe to simply be who we are in so many places. That's why the person who's putting their child to sleep in the song Everything Possible says, "I will sing you a song no one sang to me." We know. We've been taught. We're reminded in ways both large and small, both implicit and explicit, that not everything is possible. And that we can't be both who and what we are if who and what we are deviates in any way from the straight, white, cis male, well-educated norm. So it is, I believe, one of our missions in the world as Unitarian Universalists to create safe haven for those who have found themselves unsafe in so many other places. It is, I believe, one of our missions as a faith community to intentionally create community that encourages and supports people being who and what they want, who and what they truly are. If South African Bishop Desmond Tutu is right that the religious community should be an audiovisual aid for the sake of the world, showing the world how it could be, then it is one of our missions as a religious tradition to show the world that each and every human personality, each and every person is born with worth and dignity. Whoever we are, whomever we love, however we express our identity. The way the world should be is one in which each and every one of us is welcomed and celebrated for who we are, who we really and truly are. And here's the rub. We can't really be this welcoming place if everybody's welcome here. It is an internal contradiction within much liberal thought that liberal implies an expansiveness which includes everything. If we're really a liberal community, we say then everybody should be welcome here, right? Even that fur-wearing, cigar-smoking, Hummer-driving person who's wearing the Donald Trump t-shirt. Right? No. Not right. Now, I know some of you may have just felt your stomach knot up a bit when I said that. Maybe your heart's beating a little more quickly and your jaw's a little tight. And some of you are feeling a sense of relief that we don't have to wrestle with how to be welcoming to people that are hateful or those who are actively trying to hurt others. You might be feeling all sorts of things, but check in with what you're feeling when you hear me say that we absolutely should not even try to welcome everyone. That we should, in fact, intentionally exclude some people. Whew. How's that feel? One of the things that can be hard about being who and what we really are is that it means being clear about who and what we're not. To really and truly, fully, authentically be ourselves, we have to resist the temptation to try to be everything to everyone. This is true for individuals It's true for communities. It's true for nations. Look at our congregation and see how hard it can be. We want to be welcoming. We think that means we should strive to be welcoming to everyone, no matter what. But we can't. We shouldn't even try. We shouldn't even want to. Because there's a reason that not every place feels safe and welcoming to people who have been traditionally marginalized. Because so many places are full of the very people who have perpetuated and protected that marginalization. Do such people have inherent worth and dignity? Of course. They too descend from the stars and are intimately interrelated with all that is. But they're not welcome here. Because if they are welcomed here, other people won't be, or won't feel themselves to be, which is really the same thing. Mike Ludwick introduced this congregation to the words we use for our welcome. He'd heard them in our congregation in Williamsburg and thought that they described what it is we are trying to do and who it is we are trying to be. So he started using them, and pretty soon they became a weekly thing. Now they're tradition. But they've also changed over time. The words used to end, "You have a place here. All are welcome here." A year or so ago, one of our members noted that "you have a place here" might set up a sense of us who are already here and you who are new, creating an unconscious sense of division that's contrary to the intention of our welcome. Not us and you, but we. And "all are welcome here" sets us up for the very challenges we've been looking at this morning. So now we say, "You have a place here. We all have a place here. We all are welcome here." Semantics? Perhaps. But words matter. And thinking carefully about what you say and the impact your words may have is indeed a justice issue and an action. Just about every Sunday I say, "We are a Unitarian Universalist congregation that welcomes all who welcome all." If we are to be true to our Unitarian Universalist principles and values, then we need to be a congregation that is sure enough about who we are and what we stand for, that we can be equally clear about who we are not and what we will not stand for. Not everyone should be welcome here. You can't be anybody you want to be here. And that's because we're committed to being a safe and nurturing place for those for whom there are so few. A place where we can sing that song so many have yearned for so long to hear. Because we are committed to being a place that welcomes all who welcome all.